Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Oh man, what's with all this traffic, Jim? We're never gonna get to the venue on time for the opening act.
Calm down, Patrick. We'll get there in plenty of time for the show.
We're gonna miss it, Jim.
Now just relax. How many times can a grown man see Night Ranger anyway? So, Patrick, it's Monday here.
Yes, it is on the Suburbs Pod.
As people are listening,
mm-hmm.
It's not really Monday as we're recording.
No.
Not to pull back the curtain too much, but I think you guys understand.
Yeah, the great,
we're not recording
powerful.
On the day you're listening. But yesterday, in real time, you had the pleasure of dog sitting.
Yes, I did. That was a lot of fun.
For our new puppy,
right.
Shadow.
Shadow, the official house dog of Rockin' the Suburbs.
Yep. The family and I had to make a day trip down to Richmond
mm-hmm.
for a cross-country meet
mm-hmm.
and to visit our daughter at VCU.
Yep.
And so we were like, what are we going to do with the dog all day? And it just so happened that your daughter was home from college because of natural disaster.
That's right. Yeah, for the second year in a row.
And she's a dog lover, right?
She really is obsessed with dogs and worked all summer at a dog daycare place, so it was a perfect fit. Yeah, she was home for the second year in a row because of a hurricane. Luckily, this year it wasn't too bad, not as bad as last time, but she got two very, very important things done. One, organized all my music books.
Yes.
And watched Shadow. So that was really great. Yeah.
And
what more can you say?
And Shadow didn't cause too much trouble,
no,
is what you told me.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Well.
He had about 5 miles worth of walking to diminish some of his energy, though.
It still seems limitless, doesn't it?
Yeah. I don't know how he wasn't tired.
It's funny. When we went to adopt the dog, he was a rescue dog, and we got him a few weeks ago now,
mm-hmm.
not even a month. So he's about 6 months old now.
Yeah.
So I was on board the dog train idea. We had a dog for a long time who passed several months ago,
right?
And so it was time. I was like,
yeah,
okay, sure. But one of the conditions I had in adopting a dog was no puppies. I specifically wanted an adult dog who was more mature, maybe a little bit mellower,
mm-hmm.
and you could just sort of bring into the home and
right.
have him transition in, and everything would be fine. And then of course the wife and the boy fell in love with this one particular puppy
yeah.
while we were there, and then what are you gonna do?
Yeah,
right.
So right.
And he's a good dog,
he's a good boy.
But he has that puppy hyper
wow. yeah,
activity.
He does. A lot of energy.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
Every single thing is a brand new discovery for him. And he wants to chew it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But Gigi did a great job.
Well,
so
I'm
very proud of her.
I'm happy, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. All right. So now speaking of dogs.
Yep.
We're going to do another call here today on the show from Dog Walker to the Stars,
mm-hmm.
Echo Park Jimmy.
We're getting
caught up on some of his missives.
Yeah.
We had one last week, and we have one this week. And I'm going to tell you people, this is true. This one actually is shorter.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This one is not as long as he normally goes.
Okay.
Now, it's longer than most other callers would ever
sure.
consider.
Right.
But still not as long.
In the relative world of EPJ,
right.
this is a shorter one. Okay.
That's right. So he lives out in California. He's a dog walker to the Stars, as we mentioned, and an old friend of mine from high school. And he just likes to call in and tell us about stuff. And I think this one he has like a concert report, which is nice
because
we're always asking people for concert
yep.
reports.
Mm-hmm.
So this, it's a couple of things.
And we know he goes to a lot of shows, and we appreciate that he thought of us after this series of concerts, I guess, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
So let's go to the call here. This is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And here is EPJ.
The Rockin' the Suburbs podcast with Jim Linehan and Patrick Foster. If you need to get in touch with these guys, they'll answer any question about rock and or roll. 612-440-1984. Speaking of 1984, I'll get to that cover of Hot for Teacher in a second. But I'd also like to say before I start this review, don't sleep on Beck. He is the hardest working man in show business now that everyone else under that moniker has passed. He will come to your town, and he will rock. But it's Echo Park Jimmy with a quick review of the Night Running Tour featuring Beck and Cage the Elephant. I had to see it in Irvine, you guys, and it was on a Wednesday. So don't take this as Bible on whether this tour is good. But It was also the day that everybody was driving from LA to San Diego on the first night of Comic-Con 2019. So it took like 4 hours to go 20 miles, which didn't start things off on the right foot. And the only reason I really wanted to go was to see Starcrawler and Spoon, the openers. And we got there about 7:23, and to find out that Starcrawler started at 6. And Spoon went on at 6:40 or something? Crazy? So we pull into the parking lot. Oh, we're finally here, and we hear, hey, the crowd goes wild. They probably did their new single. Rick Rubin, when he was doing Tom Petty's Greatest Hits, he said the hardest thing to do is to do like a song for Greatest Hits, like a new song for Greatest Hits. Like, oh, this song is just as great as our other hits. But Spoon did it. Their upcoming Greatest Hits, No Bullets Spent, that is as good as any of their hits. Might be their best song ever. It like distills everything great about Spoon. But I wouldn't know because I assume they closed with it. Crowd went wild and they're like, thank you very much. It's 7:23. And then we sit around for an hour with nothing to do. And then Cage the Elephant goes on. And if you rock in the suburbs, Pete, aren't on to Cage the Elephant, I'm sure you are. I've mentioned them before, but they're like a bolt of blue. They just, you know, Matt Schultz, the front man, comes out of there like out of a cannon, and he doesn't stop the entire hour and a half. Just, they roll through so many songs. I'm pretty sure that they did almost every song on their new album, Social Cues, almost every song on their last album, produced by the guy from Black, Tell Me I'm Pretty, the one before this Cage the Elephant album, produced by Dan Auerbach. I wasn't really into it, but huge, huge for fans, I think. And they played almost every song on that. So they have 5 albums. I love their first 3. And I'm still getting warm to their latest, but I didn't realize why it kind of had a weird sheen to it. But the leading man just, it says that here that he had a divorce. 2 of his friends committed suicide. So he tried not to dwell on that shit, but, you know, that new album by Cage the Elephant has got some choice tunes. Ready to Let Go. But the highlight should have been Night Running, where Beck comes out and sings, but they didn't do that till later. So the highlight was this song called Teeth, which describes their sound. I can feel it in my teeth. And the lead singer, Matt, runs up the whole show into the crowd. But in that ultimate moment, he runs up to the soundboard. He does all these poses. I run down there like I did back in the day at Night Ranger with my camera running. And I had this great tracking shot all the way to a close-up. And I'm screaming back at him, I can feel it in my teeth. And then after the whole thing, I looked and I didn't hit record. But it was ultimate. I got like right in his face, everybody crowding around him like Jesus. And it was the ultimate moment of the show at the conclusion. I love that. Right in the middle of the crowd. But like I said, it was Irvine, which is a desolate, barren, weird place south of LA. And it takes forever to get there. And it used to be a place called Irvine Meadows. But it was in a beautiful location. They must have put a golf course there because they relocated this place called the Five Points Amphitheater of Irvine. And nothing about it was permanent. The stage, the bathrooms, like you could pick it up and put it somewhere else, but they said it was permanent. They sold the tickets like it was a venue, like Pine Knob or something. No. It was like, it looked like it was a cross between the Fyre Festival and FEMA. The bathrooms had numbers. Like we have an OD in stall 52. Like, it was creepy. But I don't know if it was a Wednesday or the venue or the bands were tired, but Beck just wasn't up to snuff. At one point, he's even like, hey, I know everybody's got to work tomorrow. Like, oh, buzzkill, Beck. Like, I hope you don't have to work. I know it's a Wednesday. And then he turns to, like, the guys in Jellyfish, and he's like, how much longer do we have? You guys got anything? I'm like, you guys are here. You know when the curfew is. You don't have. Quick tangent, I just, I kind of forgot one main thing about Cage the Elephant's new album, this song Social Cues. I know Rock in the Suburbs listeners love those songs that are like, talk about the industry, talk about being a rock star. And the chorus is cool because he goes, I don't know if it's right to live this way. I'll be in the back room. Tell me when it's over. People always say, man, at least you run the radio. Oh. So obviously he's dealing with some stuff. It's the fifth album. They're huge, but he's like, it could all end tomorrow. And you're only as happy as you're happy. But, you know, I was worried about Beck because he's got one of the best bands in touring, like half of Jellyfish, you know, great stage setup. Oh, by the way, Cage the Elephant had the better stage. It's like they were playing in front of a giant, like, flame broiling grill of, like, just flames, like no burgers, just flames. But it just kind of gave an edge to the whole Cage the Running set. And then Beck comes out, like I said, he's kind of like, hey, man. I don't know. It's just like, don't go on a Wednesday, even if it's the middle of summer, but go to see this tour. And I hate to be hating on Beck, but it was just kind of a performance. But that being said, don't sleep on Beck because his last album was brilliant and it's kind of modern. And, the most excellent thing lately is a Bird and the Bee cover where it's Hot for Teacher. I don't know if you know Bird and the Bee. They did some Hall & Oates stuff. It's Inara George and Greg Kirsten, like, superstar producer. But they did, I think they're doing a whole Van Halen tribute coming up, which is Rock in the Suburbs territory. And they did a cover of Hot for Teacher. And they flip it. So it's Inara George, and she's hot for Beck as the teacher. And, you know, it's really well done. And instead of Eddie Van Halen's guitar, it's like, Freakazoid, freak ballin', freak nasty piano instead of Eddie Van Halen guitar. And it's just really jazzy and in a good way. And Beck plays the teacher and he's super funny and super sexy. And he's like, what's his best line? There will be on Monday will be an essay due on the dialectical shamanism of David Lee Roth. So he even shouts out David Lee Roth, which has brings us back to 1984. 612-440-1984. Call the Suburban Party Line and talk to Jim and Patrick. They will answer any question about the rocking in the suburbs, even if it's about Night Ranger. I mean, I don't know if Beck was intimidated by Matt Schultz. I didn't even know his name. I had to make up a name. I'm like, that lead singer, Barney Franks, or I think I came up with, like, Mike Ferner or something. I don't know. But he blows anyone away. He runs constantly. Beck opens with Loser. He does Devil's Haircut, and then that's over.
All right, there you go.
That was it.
Yes. For the record, the lead singer of Cage the Elephant is Matt Schultz. Yes. Yeah. So that is accurate. And a couple other things here real quickly. Did you catch the reference? He was talking about the venue in Irvine not mm-hmm. being very good mm-hmm. and being sort of temporary looking yeah. and like a FEMA facility or something. And I like the part about the restrooms were like
numbered.
Like a prison cell. So he referenced Pine Knob. Do you know what Pine Knob is?
I don't.
So when we were kids, when Jim and I were going to high school in Toledo, yes, we would, one of the big venues we would go see shows at was Pine Knob Amphitheater.
Amphitheater.
It's one of those amphitheaters like a Meriwether Post Pavilion kind of mm-hmm. a thing.
Summertime.
Up near Detroit.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah, summertime we'd go up there and yep. see like, you know, Huey Lewis in the News.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. And I'm not even kidding about that. So that's his frame of reference.
Got it. Okay.
They're trying to be like Pine Knob, but they're not, right? So
better than Pine Knob or worse than yes. Pine Knob. Okay. Right.
So what did you get out of that?
Irvine doesn't sound like a great place to be. 4 hours to go 28 miles? What is that? Washington, D.C.? That's the only place with worse traffic is the Los Angeles metropolitan area, right?
I think you're
only
right.
Only thing worse than D.C.
But we can relate, right? Because it sounds like going to Jiffy Lube Live. Right.
Or Merriweather. It's the same thing.
Right.
If you leave at the wrong time, you're dead.
The amphitheaters tend to be out somewhere from the city center because of noise and all of that and space.
Right. And they're trying to draw as big of an area as possible.
And so they're always a traffic nightmare, aren't they?
It's always a disaster. You always fear it.
And they tend to be out somewhere where there isn't great infrastructure.
No.
The funny thing, so we have this one here called Jiffy Lube Live, which is the worst.
It's out really the worst place on earth.
Bristow, Virginia?
Somewhere like that.
Somewhere like
that. Yeah.
And literally, it's been there for how long, Patrick?
Oh, a long time. I mean, 25 years.
When you were a kid or right after?
Right after that, yeah. It came up sometime in the 90s, for sure.
It's a big venue.
Oh, it's giant.
And they get
twice as big as Merriweather Post,
They get big shows out there, like big, like a lot of like big country shows and hard rock, that kind of stuff.
I saw Ozfest there once.
Yeah. I mean, they get major acts out there and... Yet they still, all these years, haven't built infrastructure to support the traffic.
No, not at all.
It's still like two-lane road.
Yep. Two-lane road in, two-lane road out.
That's right.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on, people?
It's. I think their motto is, you're sure to miss the opening band.
That's right.
Just like that story.
So this one. So this particular tour, I'm kind of familiar with. This Beck.
Okay.
Cage the Elephant Spoon tour because it did come to Merriweather.
Oh, I think I remember that. Yeah.
In Columbia, Maryland. Uh-huh. And I had tickets.
Oh, really?
I did. I was supposed to go to this show, and then I ended up selling my ticket because it conflicted. It was one of those bad parenting moments where you don't look at the school calendar, and it was actually like literally the first day of school.
Oh, boy.
Was like that day, and I was like, we can't both be gone like all day. And it was, anyway, so, but my wife went with her friend, Jenna.
Oh, great.
They went and, you know, they literally had to leave at like, I don't know, 2:30 in the afternoon or something like that.
Yeah, I know.
To get up there.
Mm-hmm.
And it is true. The first band, in this case, it was Sunflower Bean was first band here. He said that one was Starcrawler.
Starcrawler.
But six o'clock was the
start
set time.
That's crazy. That's
in a metro area.
Yeah, that's
like,
crazy.
How can anyone do that?
I don't know. I really don't know. Not unless you lived in Columbia.
That's right.
And you could walk across the street.
That's right. So it sounds like the same deal there.
Yeah.
So, so they have the opener, and then they have Spoon. And like as he said there, he missed all of that.
Yeah.
And then he got to see Cage
the
and Beck. Right.
Sounded like it was great. That's not a band I know very much about, Cage the Elephant. What? I got to get a little hipper.
Okay. Well, let's get to that in a second here.
Yeah.
Let's start with the Spoon thing.
Okay.
Because have you heard this song?
I have not.
They have a new song. And it is sort of a throwback idea. You don't see bands doing this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They put out a Greatest Hits.
Old School Strategy.
Album, which there's almost really no reason to put out Greatest Hits albums anymore in the absence of physical media, because you can just create a Greatest Hits playlist. Artists or the platforms do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so like, what's the point of putting out another record?
There's no point. Yeah.
But I guess now that people... to some extent are treasuring physical media, especially like LPs that maybe there's a market for this. I don't know, especially for a band like Spoon that maybe people have discovered a little bit later on. I don't know. Anyway, but the new album, which came out July 26th, is called Everything Hits at Once, The Best of Spoon.
Okay.
And it's a Greatest Hits album. And then they put a new track on it, which was like an old strategy
right?
And as he was saying, like, there's a lot of pressure on that song.
Yeah.
You know?
Without a doubt. Yeah, because that's mainly the reason you're buying the whole thing. So.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's got to live up to their quote-unquote greatest hits,
Amen.
Right? And it worked for Tom Petty. I think when he put out his greatest hits, it was like Mary Jane's Last Dance, I think, was the one included.
Right.
And that's become a classic song,
it has.
But,
and also a classic strategy of country artists would often put out a greatest hits record with one new song on it and like a live cut.
So here's the new Spoon song. It's called No Bullets Spent, and EPJ heartily endorsed it.
Okay. You picture yourself a star in the furthest skies. Escape from the mess, it's gone when you close your eyes. We'll be right back.
watching his steps, you know it's him at the door. You picture yourself a star in the further sky. Escape from the mess, it's gone when you close your eyes. What we need now's an accident. No other blame and no bullet spent. All we need now's an accident.
All right, there you go.
Cool, I like that a lot.
No bullets spent.
Nice. One thing I've always liked about Spoon and their guitar player, singer, leader, Britt Daniel, is the fact that he does something kind of unusual. That guitar sound they get, that's kind of that cutting, sharp, not very reverb-drenched guitar, is an acoustic guitar. And he runs it through a lot of electric guitar pedals. The first time I saw them play live, I was like, that's how he does it. So it's actually an acoustic guitar with an electric pickup that he runs through these guitar pedals. So essentially taking an acoustic guitar, running through the electric setup, and giving it a really unique, driving, kind of clean, sharp sound, which I always really loved. So I think it's really cool the way he does that. I like that song. That was really nice. It's the first time I've heard it.
I never knew that.
Yep, it's a true thing. Yep. And when you see him play, you're like, oh, now
okay.
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's cool. I mean, that's got sort of all the Spoon elements that
you expect,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just a good tune, right?
Yeah.
So, all right.
I met him once, and he's a really nice guy, and he told me the story of how he almost retired from music after the first two albums. He quit Spoon. He had a job on Wall Street. He was wearing a suit going to work at a financial firm every day. And then they ended up getting a contract back with Matador Records and sort of made that comeback, Matador and Merge and stuff like that,
yeah.
and sort of made their return.
Yeah, right.
It's really interesting. Those first two, you know, that album they had for Elektra Records didn't really work out. It was a typical nightmare
right. Major
label thing. So,
but interesting that they're on like a package tour with where they're like the third one on the bill, right?
Yeah.
I would think, I mean, they can do, they're pretty successful headliners, right?
So
I guess
too.
Not amphitheater wise.
No,
so.
Probably not, but close. I mean, I don't think they can play the 930 Club or anything like that anymore. They got to play pretty big places.
Anthem.
So. Yeah. Kind of thing. Something like that. Exactly right.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, well, you're done by 7:30. So
that's true. That
that's
is the
right.
perk, right?
You can go to the ball game.
That's right. Okay, let's go to Cage the Elephant.
Sweet.
I think this is a really good band, and their latest album is called Social Cues, but let's play the song that EPJ
Features
said
Beck.
Was the...
Okay.
No, that was the, another band.
Oh, that was another band. Okay.
All right. So this was the one he said was the highlight from the show, and it's from an earlier album from 2013. Melophobia, and the song is called Teeth.
Okay.
There you go.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
They're really pretty great. They're out of Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Really?
So I'm familiar with them somewhat from that.
Okay.
And they're in a weird, they occupy kind of a weird space in the music landscape, which might be why they maybe get overlooked by some of the like indie fans, because they're kind of, the way I view sort of the way the music industry is right now, and I think they've always been on a major label. Let me double check that to be sure. But because I think
RCA
that's key
Records.
To this story.
Yeah.
They've always been on a major label. So I think the label has always really pushed them toward the quote unquote alternative radio.
Got it.
Which alternative radio, commercial radio today, is not what we think of when we think of like indie music. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
Not the way it used to be. Like alternative used to mean something else, but now it's kind of, alternative is like the mainstream releases so much, it's maybe geared toward a younger crowd, but they're not also not gearing it toward the like true like indie rock fans, right?
I don't know how to explain it. Yeah, but. I think you're right. And I do think it is a direct descendant from the achievement that Nirvana had in the early 90s. Like, I do think a lot of it comes down from that major label with a, you know, a strong guitar sound and things like that.
Yes.
I mean, I don't have satellite radio, but I would imagine that's part of it. There's some alternative programming on there.
If you have SiriusXM, and I mean, this is partly how I see the different buckets too. Like, this is the kind of band that gets played on, there's a channel called Alt Nation.
Yes.
They get played on that, but they don't necessarily get played so much on one called SiriusXMU.
Uh-huh. Right. You know, which is like so their college radio that's kind of thing. Yep.
That would be sort of the college radio where
I think that's exactly right.
Where you might hear like Charlie Bliss or stuff like that. Yep. And then the Alt Nation is more kind of like the major label, quote unquote, alternative releases, right?
There you go. That makes sense.
Where
you want to
hear Beck or that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So the, but they're a really good band.
Yeah,
and
that was great.
They do kind of, you know, a lot of their stuff is kind of has hints of psychedelia to it. It's like kind of psychedelic light kind of thing, but in a really good way. And the thing I like about them and a lot of their music is they have great rhythm. There's there's some really cool drumming that is going on, percussion that's going on that kind of like lives kind of underneath the song that really gives it kind of different a beat than is more beyond just kind of like the four on the floor kind of stuff, right?
Exactly.
I like that a lot.
Hi-hat and snare drum. Yeah, that is very cool.
So check them out. Cage the Elephant. Now, the other one he mentioned was The Bird and the Bee, so we'll play out with that.
Okay, cool.
Any other thoughts here?
Have you seen Beck in concert?
I saw him one time at Forecastle a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
And honestly, this is not a really a fair assessment because I was pulling kind of an old guy thing, which was that he was the headliner at the festival. And so I watched like a little bit of the show and then I was like, okay, time to go before the, you know, to beat the traffic,
That's right. Yeah, totally, totally agree with that.
But, and you know, after a long day at a whole festival, you're sort of like,
you're whipped. Right,
let's get out here.
You're wrung out.
But what I saw at that show, I was really impressed and I would love to give him another shot because he came off as like a real showman.
Yes.
You know, like he worked that stage and worked that crowd, right? In a way that, if you listen to like his earliest stuff when sort of like he came on the scene, you would not have ever thought that, right?
No. He's definitely evolved into something completely different than what he was when he started out.
Yeah, I give him credit for that.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. He's never stayed in the same place, which is great. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen him a couple times and found him to be very entertaining every time.
And that's one of the things I really like about him, too, is he can play, you know, 10 songs that you know. First of all, you don't realize like how many well-known songs he has.
Yes, that's right.
You know, you kind of forget like, oh, yeah, that one and that one. And he could play like 10 of his hits in a row and they could all sound totally different too.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons I think people were so confused that time he won that Grammy for Album of the Year and people were like, what the heck? Who is this guy? Right. Like, what just happened?
Right. Yeah. And that was like one of his really quiet albums too.
It was. Morning Phase, I believe. Yeah.
But it's really great. So.
Well, I just want to say one more quick thing, Jim, before we sign off for today's episode. You might not have noticed it, folks, but I did. Echo Park Jimmy just slipped it in there. One of those things he slips in. You know, right after he gave the number for Rockin' the Suburbs Suburban Party Line, he said, we'll answer any questions about Night Ranger. That is not true. I'm not answering any questions about Night Ranger, so I'm not letting that pass without a comment.
All right, but you can call.
Yes, you can. Just don't ask about Night Ranger.
No, well, if you do, we'll just pass those questions on to him.
There you go.
And he'll answer
That's what we'll do. Yeah.
I don't know why. Why does Night Ranger keep coming up?
I don't know.
He's trolling us, right?
I think so. Maybe we're not paying attention, but guess what? We are.
That's what people do these days. They troll.
Right. He's like subtweeting us or something, whatever that is.
What was that? You Could Still Rock in America. Wasn't that one of their songs?
I think so, yeah. Sister Christian.
Well, everybody knows that one. I was trying to think.
I can't go any deeper than that. Yeah. You Can Still Rock in America. I hope so.
We'll see how it goes after the next.
He's already tricked us. We're already thinking about Night Ranger.
For the next election cycle. We'll see how that goes. All right. Let's not get into that. But you can call 612-440-1984. Or you can email rock@suburbspod.com. Or you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at suburbspod. Mm-hmm. Thanks to everyone who entered the contest.
Yes, thanks everybody.
For the Forecastle tickets.
I know. I'm sure the winner is thrilled. Yes. And it's going to be a good time.
Now, let's turn our attention here to The Bird and the Bee. Are you familiar with this group?
I am, actually. I reviewed them once.
Okay.
And I saw them play at the Barns of Wolf Trap.
Oh, you did?
I did, many years ago. Yeah.
They're twee.
Yeah, quirky. They're quirky and unique.
So he mentioned that at one point, I mean, they do a lot of original music.
They do.
But they, in 2010, they put out an album called Interpreting the Masters Volume 1, a tribute to Daryl Hall and John Oates. And it's all covers of Hall & Oates songs. Mm-hmm. And then they put out some of their own music over the years. And then in 2019, just this year, they put out Interpreting the Masters Volume 2, a tribute to Van Halen.
Okay, there you go.
Now, the Hall & Oates one, given the Bird and the Beast style, you can kind of see that, right? This one, less so.
Very much a curveball.
And I haven't heard any of this.
I haven't either. I didn't even know it was out.
But let me tell you, there are 10 tracks on this album.
Okay.
And you got your Running with the Devil, Panama, Eruption. Jump, Ain't Talking About Love, Jamie's Crying, Unchained. You Really Got Me, something called Diamond Dave. And then... and then the Hot for Teacher
that we discussed.
So we'll play out with that.
Great.
And hopefully I can hit the spot where Beck is in it. We'll try to find that. All right. All right, let's get out of here. We have more fan mail.
All week.
All week, right?
Great.
So it's Rock of the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I am Patrick Foster. And thank you, EPJ.
Yeah, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Good morning, class. I'm your substitute teacher this morning. My name is Mr. Goodbody. We'll be reviewing the text from Moby Dick. So please turn now to page 69.
One last thing, Devil's Haircut. I never thought about what it means, and he never thought about what it means, but literally, on the spot, Devil's Haircut is when, you know, you're kind of looking shambolic on the outside, but mentally, you got a Devil's Haircut in your mind. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of look like poo on the outside, but on the inside, but on the, I got a devil's haircut in my mind. A devil's haircut in my mind is better than two turntables and a microphone. Bottles and cans are just slap your hands, or just slap your hands. All right, I gotta put this dog away.